Hi, this is Stuart. I am going to start with number one of 17 things that if they're present in a person's life, then he or she will be basically equipped for the work of the ministry as one of the saints in the kingdom of God. You might like to know that if you go to our website, you can find a copy of the outline that you can download, and it will give you all 17 of the points. And so just pay attention at the end of the film or video, whatever we call these, and you'll see there an indication of where our website is and also an indication of where my blog is, so that you can follow and get more information as you would like. But let's start with this list. If you were just thinking about it, asking yourself the question, what would be the single first most important thing that a person could have in order to be equipped to be a disciple maker in the kingdom of God? What would that number one thing be? Of course, it's a relationship with Jesus. But many people believe that they have received Jesus as their Savior. And that's fine if they believe that. But in this case, the relationship needs to be far more than just Savior. It must be a relationship with Jesus as Lord. Both Lord and lover. Because Jesus is looking for a safe, intimate love relationship with the people in his kingdom, because we are destined to be his bride. And he desires to have an intimate relationship with all of his bride. And so he's looking for that intimacy from you. And if you're going to be equipped to lead other people in his kingdom, then your relationship must also be one that he is Lord. What's that word Lord really mean? In essence, it is this. He must be the person that you turn to as the final authority for every decision that you make. If he is to be your Lord, then when he speaks, you must respect what he says and follow his guidance. That's what lordship is all about. But he's not looking for you to be enslaved to him like a robot for whom he pushes the button and you automatically act. Rather, he's looking for you to have a love affair with him where you respond to his desires not because you have to, but because you love him and you desire to. But that inherent desire to make him your final decision-making authority is what separates those of us who are truly following him from those who just merely know him. We're looking for a relationship in which he speaks and we listen. We're looking for a relationship in which when he speaks of his love for us, we respond with our love for him. We're looking for a relationship where we hear him moment by moment throughout the day, every day, and moment by moment we walk with him and enjoy his company and desire to do the things that would please him and make him excited and happy. When I am talking with young men about learning how to date young women with the hopes of finding one who wants to be his wife, occasionally I will say to them, if you kiss a girl and she doesn't kiss back, then don't ask her out again, go on to another girl, because you don't want to end up married to somebody who does not respond to you. Jesus has at least as much wisdom as I do, lots more actually. He's not interested in a bride who does not respond to his desire for intimacy, who does not respond with a desire to please him. So this love affair with him leads to his being Lord because we desire to please him, not because we have to. In that relationship, all the basic foundation of building a relationship with the rest of God has been started. And so this is the number one thing on the list. Now, why would any human being want to turn his decision-making authority over to Jesus? Well, the simple truth is, he knows more about your life than you do. Let me illustrate. Do you have any idea what you will be doing at exactly 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon? You don't really, do you? In fact, you don't even know if you'll wake up tomorrow. Everything about tomorrow is unknown. So Jesus knows about your future because he sees you from an eternal perspective. And do you remember exactly how you felt when you were 4 days old and you were wet and hungry? You don't remember? Ah, but Jesus was there watching you, and he knew exactly how you felt even then. So he knows all the details of your past. He knows all the details of your future. He knows the plans to prosper you that God has for you. So he has much more knowledge than you do upon which to base his decisions. Now there's another thing that's true about him. He loves you. Do you remember the times when you've made a silly mistake and you were so mad at yourself for making that mistake? But Jesus, when you make mistakes, he doesn't get mad at you. He just keeps on loving you. He enjoys your friendship and he wants you to be his companion. He loves you more than you love yourself. So ask yourself the question, if he loves you more than you love yourself, and he knows more about you and your life than you know, which one of you is the better decision maker, you or him? Logically, he makes the much better decision maker, doesn't he? Now, I went through this silly little routine to show you why people could logically agree to invite Jesus to be Lord over their lives. Of course, people's decisions about accepting Jesus as Lord are not all logically based, but it's a fun little gimmick way that if the Holy Spirit leads you to use it, you can lead a friend that you have a relationship with to receive Jesus as Lord. And if you've never actually invited Jesus to be Lord in your life, maybe you'd like to take a moment and do that right now. He's listening. Just take a second and say to him, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. Whatever decisions you make, I will follow them. It's that simple. It's not a religious ritual. It's a conversation with a God man who loves you absolutely the way you are. And he wants you to be his friend. So in that context, you can receive him and you can invite your friends to receive him. But remember what I said in the previous tape. It's all based in relationship. Please do not go down to the street corner and grab someone and start talking to him about why he should receive Jesus as Lord, thinking that this little gimmick will work for him. If it does, it will be purely miraculous, because most people that you go and approach like that are going to be angry at having their lives interrupted. Build a friendship. Build a relationship. Let someone come to the place where they trust you. And when they are asking you, why is your life so peaceful and mine so chaotic? Suggest to them that it's because the Prince of Peace is your Lord and he keeps you at peace. And would they like to meet him? And when they say they would, then introduce them to him as Lord. But don't put yourself into the group of religious fanatics who go out harassing people about becoming Christians. It doesn't do any long-term good. And it often gets people inoculated with just enough about Jesus to know they never really want the real thing. Love people. Don't try to control them. Simply love them like Jesus loves you. And I love you. And so I remain his, thus yours.